to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is Wednesday, May 1st. Folks, it's going to be May. I had to. Major League Baseball here. Got some day games for us on a Wednesday. A full slate of action. Should be a lot of fun. Recap of Monday. Not great. Still holding double-digit percent ROI on the first five recommended totals and sides, so that's good. Got the play of the day. Got the free pick over on Twitter. Starting off Tuesday with an A-grade winner already in game one of that doubleheader. The rest of Tuesday to be determined, so we'll recap Tuesday on Thursday's show. But again, overall, still feeling pretty good about where we are this season, just kind of trucking along through the ups and downs. It's been a little more volatile of a season so far than one would like, but I mean, that's sometimes just the way that sports go, baseball goes, and betting goes. So again, all those first five picks available on Dub Club. The link in the show description or that QR code will get you set up with a free trial to start you out. Information, summaries, a lot of details, a lot of notes, a lot of good things for when you can't watch a show, or just in addition to the show here, full slate of picks, figuring out whether I want to go full game or first five, right? All that information available along with our Discord chat group, where we have a lot of fun, a lot of people helping each other out, a lot of good things over there. Some quick reminders, of course, before we get started, pickswiththeprofessor.com/new. We'll get you the information about the model and the community rules, whether it's subject to change. Again, all those updates on Dub Club. And I'll try to talk about where, if applicable, shifting wind directions could be pivotal in assessing total concerns. We're projecting an average game. One game is unknown. Who knows what's going to happen? And so that's why we always talk about anything is a good bet at the right price or number, because we're viewing everything probabilistically. Folks, many of you know this, and I am preaching to the choir at this point, but it just as a reminder, right, there is no such thing as the ability to know what's going to happen going forward. There's no such thing as just picking winners. What there is picking good prices. This is the way that every single professional better looks at the world. And so I have a lot of good credentials. I have a PhD in statistics. I love learning. And I think the biggest thing, and one of the biggest things that can make us successful here, is saying where we have expertise in life, you know, we try to share that with other people. That's what I'm trying to do here. Where we're not experts, we try to look to other people for guidance. And where do we want to look to be successful sports bettors? Looking at what the professionals do. And that's why we do this, because we say, what are the most successful people in this industry doing? How are they viewing this? And that's what we want to do to be successful sports bettors as well. So that's how we're modeling our approaches. What are people who are doing this? How is it going for them? Now, I've built my own model, have my own inputs. We can disagree with the probabilities. That's fine. That'll adjust where you think is a good price. I'm sharing where my model thinks a good price is. If we want to up that, drop it a little bit based off of different factors, that's fine. That's where reasonable minds can disagree. I'm just sharing where it gets that A grade threshold for every full game pick. And hopefully that can guide you to some good profit picks. I'm just sharing my projections of the total. I can hopefully help you go think about if you're going over or under. That's all full game. All the run line, all the first five, all that stuff, though, over on Dub Club. But as always, take what you like and leave the rest. Never make a bet that you're not comfortable with. Sometimes the uncomfortable bets are good bets, but we have to be able to figure out what's the difference between I'm not comfortable with this bet, it makes no sense, versus I'm not comfortable with this bet, but it's priced in a way that's still profitable, and it's priced well because no one's comfortable with it, but it still makes sense. It's a tough thing to figure out. Got to make sure we're getting over that hump before we actually pull the trigger ourselves. Don't do it because someone else told you to. Last but not least, like the show, please, if you can. That helps us out in the YouTube algorithm, helps other people find us, and keeps us in business, which is always a good thing. We're going to start off with some day baseball here, 1:10 p.m. Eastern, Rays and the Brewers. Nice day in Milwaukee. Might be able to open up the roof, mid-60s for this one. Could play fairly pitcher-friendly, and that park can play fairly hitter-friendly when it's hot in the summer there, those random warm days you get up in Milwaukee. But this one might play a little bit more pitcher-friendly with regards to slightly chillier weather, and a park that's become more pitcher-friendly over the years. Zach Eflin and Colin Rea. Eflin, 4.08 ERA, a guy we've loved. His underlying metrics are still really good. His underlying metrics are actually better than his projection is. So he's had a couple rough outings. He's been a guy who, personally, I think is a little bit of a disappointment for us this season because we were so high on him. But I think it might be a little bit of a disappointment when you look at the ERA. You know, you see a number with the four, but it's long talking about, right? ERA is not the best thing to look at. We look at a lot of different things here. A FIP in the threes, XFIP at 355. That's pretty good. Like, that's still, it's not maybe Cy Young caliber, right? But he doesn't need to be that in order to win this game. The Rays still have a better offense here. I guess I don't know what these two teams, these two offenses, right? I don't know what to expect, but I do feel confident the Rays with a better starting pitcher, and that's going to help them out a lot. Colin Ray for the Brewers does have a 3.25 ERA, but again, FIP in the fives, XFIP in the upper fours. I think this is a pretty big edge for the Rays with regards to starting pitcher. Remember, ERA is not a very predictive metric for a pitcher, and so it's with that in mind that we've got the Rays favored here, winning this game 59% of the time. According to Sideline, the money line price should be about Rays minus 144. Right now, the current price definitely in the A-grade threshold for the Rays, so one to take advantage of here early on Wednesday. Cardinals and the Tigers. Folks, these two teams are going to play three games in almost 24 hours. I mean, quite a rush series here for this one. Miles Michaelis and Kenta Maeda, folks, two pitchers I have zero faith in whatsoever. Both of them get equally questionable 105 grades. Michaelis, his XFIP isn't bad, and he's not as bad as Eddie RA is, but he's just been a subpar pitcher here in reality this year, last year. Just, I mean, he's not terrible, but he's not good. And folks, I kind of feel the same about Maeda. Not as bad as that ERA. If you look at the XFIP, you look at the FIP, it is. I just don't really have faith in either one of these guys. Either one of these guys could be okay. They both could be terrible. Just massive question marks here. What I do have faith in here is that the Cardinals bullpen is superior. But folks, this has a big question mark on it. And we're going to want to wait until the end of the second game here on Tuesday, because both teams did get to call up a 27th player, an extra reliever for this doubleheader. But how the reliever usage went on Tuesday between both games, it's going to be a big factor here for Wednesday, especially with the short time frame, especially with these pitchers, and me just having very little faith that either one of them is going to get deeper than five innings. Maeda's actually averaged less than five in his five outings. That's bad, folks. So we just want to wait and see how the bullpens look, because I think the Cardinals bullpen's better, but in a world where one team's used more or less of the other, and that could affect how you're viewing the side, that could affect the totals. There's just a lot happening here with the bullpen on the day before doubleheader. So that's my word of caution for you. But offensively, I like the Cardinals better. Bullpen, I like the Cardinals better. I've got the Cardinals 50-50 because those edges only go so far with regards to home field advantage mattering, of course, still in sports. And so at a 50-50 game right now, we've got this at, you know, no pick at the moment, because the Tigers are maybe the slightest of favorites right now in the market. But the price in the Cardinals, not really good enough to take advantage of right now. So again, wanting to check the bullpen usage, that could sway us off of the model. If I would rerun the model, then saying certain bullpen guys are in or out, that could then drastically affect the probability. So kind of the one game we really do want to look at how Tuesday's results went. By the time we get to Wednesday, Thursday, we want to look at that anyway. For if a top closer setup guy, right, went both the first game series, that sort of thing. But even more important on the doubleheader. And the same thing goes for that total, projecting 9.1. But folks, if the top guys are being used, and that's going to affect things, this projected, I could feel comfortable going over 9 on this one. If, again, depending on how the bullpen situation is, right now I'm seeing an 8.5. I mean, over 8.5 looks to be pretty solid. The concern is that both offenses can disappear. We saw that in the first game, but that's one game. We're going to be in the mid-70s. Wind will be across, so no wind effect there. It should be a nice enough day. Like, we should see some runs, especially with these pitchers. So right now, kind of think over might be your best look. But again, cannot emphasize enough how much we want to look at the results and who pitched on Tuesday. Personally, I look at that at Fangraphs, the roster resource there. Fangraphs is a great website. I'm a member there because they provide me with a lot of information that I help them pass on to y'all. So I support Fangraphs. They provide a lot of good information. Shout out to them. And they can help tell you who got used the day before, how many pitches they threw, which could be helpful assessing how you feel about St. Louis-Detroit game 3 of the shortened series here, quick series on Wednesday. Joining the White Sox, 2 p.m. Eastern. Nice day, mid-70s. Wind will be blowing out at 10 to 15 miles an hour. So, folks, we're going to have a very hitter-friendly atmosphere. Maybe not quite as much as you'd see in the summer, especially in Chicago. It's not as windy on the south side as it is up at Wrigley. But with this wind blowing out on a nice day, this is going to be some nice hitting weather, some of the nicest hitting weather we've had. Welcome to May, folks. We've seen a decent number of runs in a handful of spots. And this is definitely one of them, especially anytime you throw Chris Flexen and the White Sox bullpen. And Flexen, a decent start in his last outing, has now pulled himself out of the basement. I don't know how long he was there, but he's been at some point been the worst pitcher according to Sutherland. Now he's 152 out of 153. Not a very good pitcher. ERA is actually pretty representative in this case. Low fives, FIP and XFIP both in the 540s, projects around 520. Not a good starting pitcher. The Twins offense, above average, should be able to put up some runs in this atmosphere. Bailey Ober for the Twins has had an okay start to the season, 421 ERA. That's not great. 91 grade, number 50 pitcher in baseball. You know, that's a weak two, a strong three. And when you look at his underlying metrics, that makes sense. FIP in the mid threes. Respectable pitcher, you know, not ace material, but should have plenty of success against a very weak White Sox offense. Folks, the Twins are big favorites in this one, and they should be. Right now, the current price is minus 190. Does get to that A-grade threshold. So right now, it's Twins or pass. For me, as always, if you're playing the White Sox, you really got to look first five. But even then, I doubt the first five market offers a ton here because I have no faith in Chris Flexen. But rather than playing the 190, even though it does get to the A-grade threshold, I'm going to wait in the morning till we lock this in to see if there's a run line play that makes more sense or a minus one play. Either one of those might make a little bit more sense. I do not like playing the run line as the home team. That's just a personal thing. But if, you know, with the Twins being the road team, that seems pretty reasonable, or that minus one market, which again, you can create yourself if your book doesn't offer it. And oftentimes creating it yourself, you can get better prices than what they offer you. They actually kind of charge you a tax for the convenience of it, but you bet to win X on the money line, and then you risk that same X on the run line. A lot of times I just do it in my head as $100, and then we could divide or multiply based off how your bankroll is, make it higher or lower. That creates the minus one market. We talk about that often. So looking Twins, probably minus one is probably the best way to play this. But until the run line market comes out, it's not out right now. Can't even assess what the grade of that would be, but that'd be the way that I'm looking. In a game that the model projects 9.8 runs in, again, expecting a lot of runs with these pitchers in this weather. So another game where I'm looking over or pass, as I just don't think the White Sox are going to be able to prevent the Twins from scoring, given what they're throwing and the wind blowing out. Twins should be able to hit a few home runs. Royals and the Blue Jays, 3 p.m. Eastern, first pitch. Around 50 degrees in Toronto. The roof will be closed for that one. A little bit too chilly to open it up. Seth Lugo and Chris Bassett. Lugo has been really good with regards to the runs he's allowed. ERA of 166, FIP solid at 342, XFIP at 447. That's a bit of a concern. Lugo is good. I'm not going to argue that. The real question is, how good is he? He's been a guy who's had some really good stretches in his career with the Mets. Now, that wasn't a very pitcher-friendly ballpark. What does that matter? I mean, there's a lot of kind of ways you can close one eye or the other and kind of get to a slightly different conclusion. Same when you look at FIP or XFIP, right? We're early enough in the season where we're not going to put too much stock into that. And I'm going to trust the rating that Sideline has, which is 91, the 50th best starting pitcher. That's pretty good. Again, that would line you up as a weak number two. If you look just at FIP and how he's in this year, you might make the argument more of a strong number two. If you look at XFIP, maybe more of that weak number two. That's kind of the question you have to ask yourself. He's good for sure. And I think he's the better starting pitcher in this one against Chris Bassett, who hasn't had a good start to the season. So Lugo has the edge for the Royals. The question is, how big of an edge is it? That's why I have a model to help us figure these things out. Blue Jays will have the edge on offense, bullpen-wise. I mentioned this to our people on Dub Club. I did have a bit of a glitch that I had to catch in my code. The model was assigning more innings to guys who had good projections but not high usage rates. And that was throwing things off a little bit with regards to the reliever ranks. And so that's why you see, that's why the Royals bullpen, it's not as terrible as it was last year, but that's for a while. It looked like the Royals bullpen was probably better than it was. So hopefully it's got that fixed. Hopefully that does our full game predictions better. So now at this point, we've got these two bullpens as pretty even. Got the Blue Jays winning 57% of the time. And the current price of this would be probably about a B grade for the Blue Jays, not quite that A grade of minus 117. As much as Lugo is the better pitcher in this, there's a lot of other things happening. They're on the road, and I like this Blue Jays offense. So it's probably Blue Jays or pass here in a game we're projecting 8.4 runs on. Carrying on with the Pirates and the A's, about 70 degrees for this one. And folks, what the weather is going to matter. We're going to want to check back in on this one as we get closer to first pitch, at least in the morning here on Wednesday. 10 to 15 mile an hour winds. Starting off looking like across to right field, then out to right field. Now, the right field's a little bit less impactful than to left, given the fact that the majority of teams have more right-handed hitters than left. But at that sort of speed, the fact that the ball carries a little bit better there in the daytime, one where if the timing of the wind changing directions or if it shifts a little bit right, could really matter. If it's out at almost 50 miles an hour the entire game on a decent temperature day, this park's going to play pretty neutral. It's not going to be that pitcher friendly. The fact that there's all that foul ground and you can turn a couple foul outs into their foul balls into outs is going to be offset by the ball carrying so well. If the wind's mostly going to stay across for the entire game, then it's still going to be a pretty pitcher-friendly ballpark because the ball carry a little bit better, but not enough to offset just how much foul territory there is in that park. So weather mattering a lot in this one. So check back on that. Quinn Priester and Ross Stripling. Priester, very respectable young guy. Obviously, will probably get better over time, but at this point, just kind of an average major league pitcher. High FIP, low XFIP, probably the truth somewhere in between respectable. Ross Stripling, really good underlying metric. Been talking about him. I'm pretty high on what I've seen from him. I'm really encouraged. ERA right around 5, but again, as we're talking about all the time, right, that's not the most predictive metric. FIP 350, XFIP in the threes. I like what I've seen from him. I think he's a guy you can back with relative confidence. Two of offenses have been talking about all series. Don't really know what I'm going to get at any given time with them right now. Bullpen wise, slight edge to the Pirates here. The A's bullpen, though, as I kind of mentioned, just looks better and better by the day. Sideline says the Pirates should be slight favorites, and they are slight favorites. So one where, with regards to the side, it's hard to say there's any edge right now. Maybe the first five market offers us something in the morning, a game where you might lean over 8, but over 8's not the most fun numbers. Maybe be a first five type total there. But again, these pitchers aren't amazing, but like given these offenses, like they could have success. So really going to be all about the weather, I think, on this when you're looking at the total. Like I said, for the side right now, it's hard to say there's a good angle unless the price moves overnight, which does sometimes happen. You never know. Braves and the Mariners wrapping up this series in the afternoon. Upper 50, low 50s for this one. Wind blowing out, going to kind of offset. It's going to play very pitcher-friendly like it normally does. It's not going to be a Seattle, game. Like, what was Monday's game? We're at 1-0. 2-1? I guess it was 2-1. The Braves had the lead. So 3 runs in that one. Night games in Seattle, when it's cold, it's hard to get a lot of runs. And Tuesday's game hasn't happened yet, so I'm going to say something. Hopefully, I don't look like a fool, but I mean, Tuesday's game might be a 2-1 or might not even get 2 runs in it kind of game. Wednesday's game will be pitcher friendly, but not to that extreme. Won't be warm, but the wind will be blowing out. Sun will be out. I'm not sure if they'll open the canopy part of that or not. I don't see why they wouldn't, just to get some extra sunshine. I say sunshine, it's Seattle. I'm not sure sunshine's going to be. but it's not going to be quite as crazy as some of the night games is the bottom line, but still pitcher friendly. So keep that in mind. Chris Sale and Emerson Hancock. Sale, looking solid so far this season. According to Sideline, the 16th best active starting pitcher. There's probably 16 pitchers better than that are on the IL, but that's another story. Good ERA, better FIP, even better XFIP. I mean, looking like, again, a guy who's could be a great addition for the Braves here. Emerson Hancock, one of the pitchers for Seattle that I just have no faith in. His FIP and ERA align exactly. His XFIP's a little bit better, but I think he's going to get benefited by pitching in a pitcher-friendly ballpark. But I don't think he's very good. I think this is a massive starting pitcher edge. It's a pretty solid bullpen edge. The Mariners bullpen, not terrible, but again, not quite as strong as it's been before. And obviously, you add a guy like Matt Brash back in there, would be huge for them. And these Atlanta relievers, I've loved them all season. I think they're just a fantastic unit. So the Braves here are big favorite, 64%. We are right at the A grade threshold of -163 for the Braves. But as I kind of mentioned with the Twins, I think it's a similar situation where you might be looking at the -1 or the -1.5 market. In this one, I would probably be less inclined to play the run line because of the fact that with still a pitcher-friendly ballpark, you're not expecting a ton of runs. A one-run game is more likely. But here's the thing. The books know that. They price it that way. Sideline knows that, and it's going to price it that way as well. The run line adjustment is going to be a little bit different. The probability team wins by 1, which is what's going to calculate the difference between the probability of winning a money line versus run line, is adjusted by the expected number of runs. So the fact that we're expecting 7.5 runs in this game is going to make that probability of winning by more than a run a little bit less, which means our threshold to be a little bit higher. So we know that the books do that. So it's all about just what's a good price. How do you figure out what's a good price? Well, one way to do it's a model, and so I built Sideline. So we've got all those run line information, the -1 information, the first five, blah, 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 all that stuff over on Sideline. We'll tell us exactly how to play this game. But in general, it's hard not to like the Braves and this massive starting pitcher edge with Chris Sale against Emerson Hancock. Phillies and the Angels, 4:07 p.m. Eastern. Angels announcing here this afternoon that Trout is going to be out for a while. Again, and that's obviously a big blow to them. And you can see it on screen that their offensive rating drops below average because of this. Patrick Sandoval, not as bad as Eddie Aria. I don't think he's a terrible pitcher whatsoever. I think he's given up some runs, but I think he's very okay. The issue is he's going up against Zach Wheeler, who's, I think, tied for the best starting pitcher right now in baseball with Logan Webb. And with Webb struggling here a little bit so far early in Boston, you know, you might wake up here on Wednesday and Wheeler might be number one according to Sideline. He's looked fantastic. The underlying metrics, it's not a fluke. He's a really good pitcher. I don't really think I'm breaking news there. And so Phillies are favored. They should be favored. Again, as always, the only question is it by enough? I'm also just a little bit of value in the Phillies here. Another game where, you know, you might lay it a little bit here on the money line. You might play the minus one, might play a run line because in a game where you are expecting at least at least more runs than seven, you know, you could obviously hit that that run line a little bit easier. But again, for the official pick and what we'll do with this, you know, check us out in the morning on Dub Club. But it's Phillies or pass here. We just don't want this price to get, you know, run away too bad. So one, even early on, you might lock in and just say, you know, let's just, you know, take a good play while we have it, throw it in the money line parlay, however you're kind of handling the bigger minus odds. But it's hard to think the Angels have much of a chance here because, again, I don't think Wheeler's, I mean, Sandoval's that bad, but he's going to be outmatched. And then whenever it gets to the bullpen, the model does not like this Angels bullpen and has them down towards the bottom here. So offensively, the Angels were supposed to have an edge. You take a guy like Trout out, and that just completely changes the offense. So this is Phillies or pass. Weather-wise, upper 60s, wind will be blowing out. Should play pretty normal, maybe slightly hitter-friendly, if anything. But again, when you have a guy like Wheeler pitching and you have, again, Sandoval not being terrible, two subpar offenses, the Phillies are carried by their amazing starting pitching and their really good bullpen at this point. The model seems to like their bullpen at this point. You can't expect a ton of runs more than Seattle because of the weather, but you know, this one's more about how are the Angels going to score without Trout against Wheeler in this offense? The answer is going to be it might take a little bit of luck. So we're kind of looking Phillies on this one way or the other. Reds and the Padres, last afternoon game, 4:10 p.m., low 60s, wind will be blowing out. That'll kind of offset, and it'll play like a normal Petco game, which means, you know, pitcher-friendly, not, you know, only two runs type thing, but kind of like Seattle, you know, kind of a like a normal game there, not where it's really going to be average, but not where it's going to be just insane to score runs. Two pitchers who, you know, you got a lot of questions about. Graham Ashcraft, 4.40 ERA, FIP in that same ballpark. XFIP really good, though. He's had some stretches where he's looked like he might be good. I'm not sure we're there yet. Can he really put it together? Can we get that breakout, you know, full season from him? He seems like he's kind of always been on the cusp of that here these last, I don't know, year or so. A little bit of injuries, a little bit, you know, this and that. And is he there? I don't know. Maybe, right? If he can keep pitching like that XFIP would indicate, you know, he's got a chance to really step up and improve his rating. And for a guy who's kind of a back end guy for the Reds, could really solidify their rotation and make it one of the stronger rotations in the National League. So, I mean, I think there's some potential upside there with Ashcraft. I'm not sure if he'll get it, but at this point, at minimum, he's an average starting pitcher, and then he might be better than that by a decent bit. It's hard to say at this point with where he's at. Musgrove, on the other hand, has just looked lost this year, has had a start or two where he's looked respectable, and he's had a start or two where, you know, every once in a while he's getting more swings and misses or more strikeouts or whatever, but on the whole, it's way more bad than good. And it's not just the ERA. The FIP is actually right there with it. The XFIP's a little bit lower, but I mean, he's been getting hit around. He hasn't been getting the same things that before. I've wondered all year, like, what is going on with him? Is a little bit of a lingering injury issue or what it is, but you know, he's been such a good pitcher for so long, you know, at any point he can flip that around and all of a sudden be a good pitcher again. But I mean, at this point, it's hard to think that you'd back him until you see it, even at this point, maybe for more than a start, because it's just been so concerning. And obviously he'll get boosted by playing in that park. But like I said, the underlying metrics there are just even are a concern every which way you look at it, exit velocity, everything. It's not like it's just one thing or the other with him. So the model says Ashcraft's a little bit better. That gap might be bigger than that. It's really hard to say. Like I said, some guys I have question marks on, and of course I have the question marks in the different directions, right? Musgrove, I have the, like, I'm not sure he's even that good. Ashcraft's, like, could be better. Now, how much do you weight previous season's data, et cetera? That's a tough question with a guy like Ashcraft, who's a young guy, right? You might adjust a little bit quicker. With a guy like Musgrove, you don't want to throw out that data, but like, if there's something wrong with them, maybe we should throw out that data and adjust quicker too. So the model's not adjusting overly quick on either one of these guys, but maybe it should. I don't know. So again, some questions I have here. I think the Reds have an edge starting pitcher. The question is how big, and like I said, it might be bigger than the model thinks. The Padres' offense is better and they're at home. So, you know, they should be favored, but I mean, the question is by how much. Right now, the model would lean you towards the Padres. I'm not dying to take it, not unless the value gets really good. I'm definitely, you know, concerned about Musgrove. I'm concerned about the fact that the, you know, first five market is something that, you know, you don't want to back a team like the Padres on when Musgrove is going, because you just never know if he's going to give up eight runs. You know, you want the full game. You want to get the Reds bullpen, which isn't that good, but it's not like the Padres bullpen. For a while, they look like they might be decent, but now kind of coming back to earth. I mean, there's just a lot of questions here. It's hard to feel like you got to back, like you want to back the Padres. I know there might be a little bit of value there, but I'm just not sure the value is good enough at this point. Model's projecting 7.8 runs, so maybe there's a total play on this one. But when you have pitchers where the question marks are going different directions, it's just not a game right now that I'm loving anything. It doesn't mean there won't be a play, but it's not going to be one that I want to be overly invested in, just because I'm sure, like many of us out there, we're trying to figure out exactly what's going on with Musgrove. And so until that gets figured out, it's kind of like fade him or pass. But I'm not sure the price is high enough for the Reds because they're still on the road. They still have question marks in a lot of places. So all that kind of a mixed bag right now in this one. Not one that I'm loving anything in personally. Tonight games, Yankees and the Orioles. Folks, around 80 degrees to start. We're talking about the weather's been pretty nice, pretty warm here in Baltimore for this series. Even towards the end of the game, it'll still be mid-70s. So on the warmer side for early season, wind maybe out, maybe across, only about 5 miles an hour. So probably not going to matter too much. Going to play pretty average here on Wednesday night. Luis Gill and Corbin Burns. Gill with a 4.01 ERA. Underlying metrics align pretty well with that. Very respectable pitcher. Nowhere near as good as Corbin Burns, who according to Sideline is the 7th best healthy pitcher right now and has looked fantastic so far in his Orioles debut. 2.55 ERA. Underlying metrics a little bit higher than that, but I mean, Burns is a top 10 pitcher in baseball. I don't think anybody would argue that. Maybe top five right now. The model likes a few other guys slightly ahead of him, but it's really close. I mean, the difference between, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 is all really rounding here, and Burns is right in the mix of that. So don't take number 7 as, you know, a slight to him. I mean, he's you know, a gust of wind away from like number 4, I think. Really, really good pitcher for the Royals. Again, I'm not breaking news here. Offensively, Sideline has these as number 4 and number 5 back-to-back, and so really good offenses here. Projecting not even to get to 9 runs, and I think that's mainly on the strength, the fact that Corbin Burns is such a good pitcher. We've got the Orioles as favored here. They win this 60% of the time. The price should be minus 153. Of course, the issue is right now I'm seeing minus 155, so no edge right here on the side. Burns is a guy, love the back if there's any value. But the problem is on a situation like this is that I think it's priced pretty well. So I don't, you know, I'm not playing the Yankees at this point. The price isn't high enough, but the price on the Orioles is just a little bit too high. Maybe the first five market offer something. My fear is that the first five price on the Orioles is going to be also in the minus 155 range, and we'd really be liking that more than minus 140. So if we get like a minus 140 in the Orioles first five, I'd be all about that. I'm not sure we're going to get it. But at this point, not a lot of value there. Maybe the total market, maybe the first five market offers or something. But right now, not anything I'm running to play. Rockies and the Marlins. Dakota Hudson and Braxton Garrett. Right now, there's no lineup on this one because we have not confirmed either one of these pitchers, actually. So who knows? I'm going to talk about this game for just a minute, but there's probably a 50-50 chance that one of these pitchers doesn't pitch and it changes things. Garrett hasn't pitched this season yet. Very respectable pitcher, of course, when he can come back, but obviously your first start back. We've seen a lot of variance on these guys. We've seen guys come their first start back and look fantastic. And we've seen guys in their first start here on the season, you know, really struggle. So it's kind of a mixed bag there. He's decent. Hudson, you know, not as bad as that 6.57 ERA, but the underlying metrics have his FIP and XFIP right in the fives. Not really great. I mean, the Marlins will have an edge there. They'll have an edge on offense because it's the Rockies. But, you know, when you have bad baseball, anything can happen. And I think you kind of seen here on Tuesday night, recording this as the games are getting underway, and the Rockies put up a five spot in the first, and now we're like five straight innings with nothing. And I think that's the kind of variance you expect with bad baseball. With good baseball, you know, you expect, you know, a battle back and forth and good things happening either way. But with bad baseball, it's like anything is on the table. You know, a team putting up a five spot, multiple scoreless innings with bad pitching. I mean, these offenses are terrible. It just anything can happen. So the Marlins have an edge starting pitcher. I think they have an edge on offense. The edges are so small here that I'm not sure it's going to amount to much. The Marlins would probably be favored in this game, even if one of the starting pitcher changes. It just kind of matters as to what. If it is Garrett and Hudson, you could see on screen how we project it. But again, like I said, I think there's about a 50-50 chance that one of those guys isn't the pitcher. And if that's the case, of course, we'll have all the updates available on the club in the morning. Cubs and the Mets, low 50s. Wind will be blowing maybe out, maybe across, about 10 miles an hour. Probably want to check in on if the wind's blowing out for the entirety of this game, it will play pitcher friendly. If it's blowing across, it'll play extremely pitcher friendly. Citi Field's one of the more pitcher friendly ballparks in baseball. For the Cubs, Imaniga has been just a revelation. Every time he goes out there, he's looking better and better at this point, up to the 28th best active starting pitcher in baseball, 0.98 ERA. I mean, it's been fantastic. And that's a little bit of a mirage, because obviously anytime someone has an ERA that's a mirage, we know that's not going to last. But I mean, a 240 FIP, I mean, it's not like it's smoke and mirrors completely. It's not going to be that good, because that's insane. But he's been really, really good for the Cubs. You'd be very pleased if you're a Cubs fan with what he's done. Jose Buto for the Mets, 286 ERA. Now, the advanced metrics, a little bit less excited about him. That last start, I think, did a little bit of a number to him. I think he's a very solid young pitcher at this point. I have no problems backing him. We backed him a couple starts early on. I think he probably was a little bit undervalued by the market. But in this matchup, the Cubs definitely have an edge starting pitcher. Mets have an edge with regards to the relievers. They just don't really trust the Cubs bullpen. Offensively, both are just kind of meh. Got this in the Mets winning 52% of the time. Right now, you can get even money in the Mets. That would be a B-grade play. The A-grade threshold's plus 105. So needing another nickel there, maybe the first five market offers us a play. The downside to that is that I like going first five. A, if the price is better, because, of course, it's always about what sort of value you can provide, but also in a situation where I don't trust the bullpens. And in this case, I like the Mets relievers, and things get better for the Mets as the game goes along. So a first five play doesn't seem overly likely. In fact, the Mets are less likely to win the first five in the game because they're more likely to be tied or slightly down and more likely to come back than the Cubs are likely to make a comeback. So, you know, maybe the first five offers a little bit of value, but it's one where I'm probably more looking Mets full game at this point and just trying to find the best price possible. You can find that plus 105, gets the A grade. But as always, folks, remember, shop around. Every nickel you can get is beneficial with regards to making you more when you win, losing you less when you lose. We're going to win some, we're going to lose some. And that's why the price always matters. And that's why when we say that plus 105 is the A grade threshold, it's not so much that it more likely at that plus 105 threshold. What it means is the payout is now worth more. It's a more valuable investment. It's like the same difference between, you know, saying I've got $5 spent on a meal and saying I can get a McDonald's hamburger or I can get a steakhouse steak for those $5. Well, you're still paying $5, but one of those is more valuable, right? So getting that higher return on your investment matters. One way to do that is knowing what price to attack, finding, you know, setting that and saying, if the price gets there, that's when I want to push or play it. That's what we do here. And I provide all that information for first fives, for one lines, et cetera. That's one way to do it. The other way to do it, of course, shop around. If you don't have an account there yet, BetUS is a great place to also utilize this shopping around. Get down bets there when the price is better than at your other shops that you have. In the show description, we'll get you set up with a 125% bonus on your first ever free deposits.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Carrying along to Giants and the Red Sox. Chilly night in Boston, mid-40s. Wind will be blowing slightly in. Same situation here on Wednesday as Tuesday. A hitter-friendly ballpark. Cooler weather, but a ballpark with weird dimensions, high variance total. If the weather has more of an impact on things, this could easily be a game that only has four runs in it. if the fact that the weird dimensions, the green monster, that really crazy extreme right field, the lack of foul territory, you know, that sort of plays in more, you know, you could still have a lot of runs at Fenway in any situation. So a high variance total, probably your highest variance total of the night here. So it could really go either direction with regards to the number of runs based off this park and weather interaction. No line available right now, as we don't know who the Giants are going to start. According to FanGraphs, we are looking at Dalton Jeffries. Why would it be him? He has been stretched out in the minors. His last start came about 6 days ago. He threw like five innings. So he could be a guy to call that they call up and pitch. They could just go bullpen game. Don't really know what it'll be. But if it is Jeffries, we don't expect him to go deep necessarily. He hasn't done well in his – it's only been two innings in the major before they sent him down. But not a good starting pitcher. According to something, he's now dead last. I guess that's why Flexen's out of the basement now, because we added Jeffries to the database. You know, we won't expect good things from him. If we plug in a bullpen game, things actually make it better for the Giants on average, but it'll be higher variance. And so this is going to be a game where we're really going to try to differentiate. And this is where, you know, I haven't put this in the model yet. One day I'd like to. At this point in the season of life, many of you know, right, I've got two small kids. One's still a newborn. Crazy as it seems at 4 months, because he's not growing, which is a whole other issue. And so time is just, you know, tough to do this. But folks, this is where, you know, these are types of things we want to talk about over on Discord. That's why we want you over on Dub Club, because we can discuss these things. We can dive in on these are the questions that we should be thinking about, discussions we can have. But I can have a few of them on here, but I can't talk all day long on this show here for you. But if the Giants go bullpen game, on average, as a point estimate, things get better for them. Why is that? Because I don't really have a lot of faith in Dalton Jeffries coming up and pitching. The variance is actually higher, because anytime you now say that we're probably going to have eight different pitchers in the game, it's harder for all of them to be on, and odds are that one or two of them won't be on. And in a park like Fenway, even with the cold weather, that could lead to some crooked numbers in a hurry. So it's like it's a pick your poison type thing. You decrease your variance with Jeffries because you feel like he can probably get you three, four innings, eliminate a bullpen guy or two, and that decreases some of the variance. But in general, I'm not thinking it's going to be four great innings necessarily. So it's kind of a pick your poison type thing for the Giants. Cutter Crawford for the Red Sox has been fantastic this season. 1.35 ERA, really good FIP. XFIP a little bit higher, but even if he performs at the XFIP level, that's still really good. XFIP 3.88 on the season. So still fantastic, you know, year so far for Crawford. You have the sledge on offense of the Giants, but at this point, you have to think the Red Sox should be favored in this one. The only question is how much, what the variance looks like and everything based off of who's pitching. For the Giants, but sideline right now says they win 61% of the time. Could easily make a case again that this is one of the higher variance games just on the table with regards to the total and that weather and whatever happens with the Giants pitching. Just anything can happen in this game, so proceed with this one with caution. Nats and the Rangers, nice night in Arlington, mid-upper 70s. Could open the roof if they want to. If they do, it might play a little bit more hitter-friendly than usual. Trevor Williams for the Nats has been fantastic and slowly but surely is getting his grade toward league average. He was not good last year. His XFIP still a little high at 410. That's not bad, though. But his FIP at 263 is fantastic. And so far, so good for him. If he continues to pitch this way, not even looking at the ERA, but just the FIP and the XFIP, like if he continues to do this, like he will be an above average pitcher according to the model soon enough. The question is just, do we overreact to those five starts? But it's been five good ones for him so far. He's been a pleasant surprise if you're a Nats fan. Andrew Heaney for the Rangers has not been good and is probably not quite as bad as ERA, but I don't think he's very good. This is a tale of two pitchers who project about the same but might be going different directions. At this point, we have to figure, and this is why, you know, I don't want to try to toot my own horn as much as I want to say, like, the model has done really well with first fives. The model's done really well with baseball every single year, because it does a good job of calibrating. Does that mean it calibrates every situation perfectly? No, it's not possible, but on average, it does a really good job. So it's saying in general here, don't overreact with Williams. Don't overreact with Heaney. These two pitchers coming into the season, we thought Heaney was a much better pitcher. And at this point now, we've leveled the playing field. Should we overreact a little bit more? And should we say Williams is a better pitcher? Maybe. I don't know. In one situation, we never know. On average, the model does a really good job of not overreacting and not underreacting. But when you look at this game, it's kind of one of those, they're either even where the model's not overreacting or we should be overreacting and Williams is better. I can't really find a way to convince myself that Heaney is better, because while the previous season's data matters, when you add in what's happening this year, it's really concerning for him and really optimistic for Williams. So the truth is somewhere between these starting pitchers are even and Williams is the better starting pitcher. That said, we like the Rangers bullpen better. We like the Rangers offense better. And that leads us to 63% chance that the Rangers win this game. A grade threshold minus 153. We're in that ballpark right now. This is right around the threshold of maybe you start looking at the minus one because the odds are starting to get a little bit high. It's Rangers or pass. If you're playing the Rangers, unless the first five price is just ridiculously good, you have to like the full game because things get better for them when they get to their relievers. Whereas for the Nats, maybe they get better, maybe they don't. It's more of a question, but the Rangers things get better when they go off of Heaney. And that's kind of the benefit, at least right now, that the Rangers have, is that they don't necessarily need Heaney to go deep, whereas the Nats, I think, kind of do. Their bullpen's looking better. It's better than it was last year. But I still don't think that they still are hoping that Williams can get them, you know, six strong innings. And if they could go seven, even better, right? Whereas the Rangers don't need that from Heaney. Honestly, four innings would probably be fine because they've got some better bullpen arms. And so the Rangers have a lot of advantages in their favor. It's Rangers or pass. But again, the caveat on this and the reason I think there's value in the Rangers this number, but I don't want to be overinvested because I'm just not convinced there's a case to be made that Williams is better than Heaney by more than the model realizes. So I'm not saying I don't believe the model. I'm saying on average it does really well, and we want to kind of anchor ourselves in that. But I don't want to be overinvested in a game where we might not have equal starting pitchers. We may be outdueled early, maybe holding our breath early on, just trying to say, can we get to the fifth inning tied? And then we like our chances with the Rangers, which is, again, why I think we should play them, but I don't want to be too invested at a price like minus 150, minus 155 or whatever that it is right now, because those not great odds for I just want to get to the midway point tied. But I do think the Rangers offense is better. They should be favored. It's Rangers or pass. We just got to figure out how much we want to be invested and if we want to be on more of a run line minus one or a money line market. I get a lot of it being personal preference. Astros hosting the Guardians here, 8:10 p.m. Eastern. Nice night in Houston, could open the roof mid-70s. Tristan McKenzie and Justin Verlander. McKenzie, 4.91 ERA, but the underlying metrics are a much bigger concern. There's been questions about how is he injured? Does he have something going on? His velocity's down. What's going on with him? So that's just, you know, something to keep an eye on there. The Guardians relievers are good, and that helps because they don't really need him to go overly deep. He hasn't this season. But it doesn't take much, especially in a park that can play kind of hitter friendly at times, for the Astros to get enough runs to win this game with a guy like Verlander on the hill. He's looked good in his two starts. Obviously, the underlying metrics a little bit worse than that sparkling 174 ERA, but very respectable. Even though Verlander's projection gets worse as he gets older, he's a guy still that we think is very good. So the Astros have an edge there, starting pitcher. They have an edge, you know, on offense. They don't in the pen because, of course, the Guardians relievers pretty good, but we still give the Astros a 59% chance to win this game. Right now, and this is so crazy because Tuesday's game just started here. We said the Astros were really underpriced for Tuesday's game. That was when I recorded on Monday. And then all of a sudden, the price in the Astros shot up like 30 cents. By the time we got to like midday Tuesday, it was like, man, all the value's gone on the Astros at this point. And so it's like, I feel like the market's just done this like massive whiplash on the Astros. We were fading them consistently. They were terrible. The market thought they were good. And we were like, no, they're not. And we faded them. And that worked out well for us. And then now we're kind of shifting around. I mean, like, man, now the market's overreacted. They think they're bad. They're still a decent team. And then like it shifted overnight, like based off of, you know, we came out and said the Astros should be a bigger favorites. And lo and behold, it's like, the market just completely swung around. And it's like, now do we think the Astros are better than they are again? I don't know what's happening with the market's view of the Astros. It's very confusing to me because you don't typically see the perception of a team in 1 month's time swing back and forth like it's done here. This is another game where I would say the Astros might be overvalued. That doesn't mean I take the Guardians. I don't really have any faith in Tristan McKenzie right now, and I don't want to fade Justin Verlander right now. But whereas we've said, hey, there were some prices, say, this weekend against the Rockies where we're like, man, the Astros have some value. Let's take them. I look at Wednesday's game and I say, the Astros might be overpriced. I'm not saying that I'm on the Guardians, but I might just say let's pass on the Astros because minus 165 is just a little bit too much here for this game because the bullpen still favors the Guardians. Guardians' offense isn't terrible. And if the Guardians can get through four innings with McKenzie, start turning over some of those relievers, like this becomes a much closer to a coin toss type game than the market's implying it will be. Which, you know, brings me to a point I just kind of want to touch on real quick with this. And that is something I talk about a lot. But I want to make sure that we're thinking about this. It's a really hard concept to understand. It's something I struggle with. I struggle with a lot. I'm sure you viewer do as well. Something will happen. Some team will win. Some bet that you could have made would have won. Some bet that you could have made would have lost too. Just because something will happen in this game doesn't necessarily mean that there was a bet that you should have made. If that's the case, then you should be betting on literally every single market in the world because there's always bets out there to be made. How do we know which bets to make? It's not about hindsight. It's not about this team did this thing and thus I should have done it. It's about foresight and saying, what's the probability that this thing happens and how does that align with the market? And probability, it's not like when I say 59% here from the model, that's not a fact, right? That's what this model says. Another model would say something different. Everybody could, and model can be a mental model. It can be a mathematical model. It can be a combination, be a hybrid, it can be an average of all these things, right? However we get to that probability, and we want it to be somewhat scientific, but that doesn't mean we can't use our own subjective brains as well. Whatever we come up with, that's what tells us if a bet should be made or not, not whether something happens. So I want to make sure we hear that. The Astros are more likely than not to win this game, but that doesn't mean that backing up minus 165 is a good thing. That's a hard thing to wrap our head around because we see Astros minus 165. This game will happen. If they were to win, we would be like, oh, well, we should have done that. Well, that's not necessarily true. Because again, if that's true, then you should be making 5,000 bets a day because every market has a winning and losing side. And that's obviously ludicrous, right? We want to come up with what we want to bet based off of. Is the price good? And the Astros are more likely to win this game, but they're just really overpriced all of a sudden here on Wednesday night after having like a nice 4-day stretch where they weren't overpriced. I don't know what's happening with the Astros. The view of the Astros in the market is really weird. Maybe it'll settle down eventually, but it's kind of been a lot of whiplash trying to figure out what people actually think about this team, which I guess is what happens when you're 7 straight or whatever ALCS is and you start off as terrible as they have. Nobody knows what to make of them. So maybe I guess that's why we're here. Dodgers and the Diamondbacks to the late games here, 9:40 p.m. Eastern. Late game singular, only late game on the docket. Yamamoto for the Dodgers and Gallen for the Diamondbacks. Yamamoto, everything I said about Imagina for the Cubs holds here. The ERA is a little bit higher for Yamamoto, but I mean, the underlying metrics are sparkling. I mean, two guys coming from overseas that have looked fantastic for your Dodgers fan. You have to love what you've seen from him. Something that's got him as the 14th best starting pitcher. Zach Gallen, number 18, has been a really good pitcher as well. Really good underlying metrics, good results every single year. Very consistently good pitcher. I mean, these are two really good pitchers. Of course, two pretty good offenses. Of course, the Dodgers number one and the Diamondbacks a top 10 offense. The Diamondbacks relievers a little bit of a question mark. That's really their concern, especially they tried to shore up last year a little bit. With mixed results, Sewell, I don't think is like necessarily the best pitcher coming in there, but he definitely helps them a lot. And him being out still hurts their relievers. We've got the Dodgers winning this 55% of the time. Mainly the strength that it's not that I want to fade Gallen. Gallen's a really good pitcher. It's the fact that Yamamoto's just as good. They're pretty similar. Maybe one's better than the other by a little bit, but it's pretty similar in starting pitcher. Don't trust the Diamondbacks relievers. The Dodgers have a good offense. We got the Dodgers winning this 55% of the time. Assuming it is these two pitchers right now, there is no line out because we have not confirmed if Yamamoto is going or if the Dodgers are going to throw a bullpen game in here. They randomly drop bullpen games in and then push everybody back to give them an extra day's rest. So that's kind of the big asterisk on this. If it is a bullpen game for the Dodgers, their relievers are decent enough, but all of a sudden that's probably going to shift this much closer to a coin toss where, again, the Dodgers have a great offense, but Zach Gallen against the bullpen game kind of can swing things back. So big question mark there on, is it Yamamoto or is it a set of relievers? We'll find out later. You know, all the updates, if there's new starting pitchers, when there's lines out for these things, et cetera, all the picks, all the first five stuff that's been doing so good so far this year, all that's over on Dub Club. If you're not there yet, check it out, sign up. Link in the show description. I give out so much information over there to try to make sure it's worth your while. You can become a better, smarter, better, more informed, better. Hopefully you're entertained over on our Discord chat. We have a lot of good times over there. A lot of reasons. Check that out. We appreciate your support so much if you're there with us. We appreciate your support here for watching the show. Either way, we love having you here. We wish you the best of luck here in your betting for Wednesday. And remember, you can eat your betting money, but please don't bet your eating money.